John chapter 12, verses 17 to 19. Notice how John, more than that, the Holy Spirit through John, has recorded the same thing again and again, virtually the same thing. In verses 17 to 19 of John chapter 12, we are told that the crowd that was with Christ when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, we're told that they continued, they were going on continuously spreading the word, telling others about it. Then we read verse 18, many people, because they had heard that Jesus had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. And so we have a massive crowd thronging around Christ. They're spreading the word, and even more people are flocking to him. And then we read in verse 19, so the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. Not literally so, but that's how it seemed. The people were flocking to Christ in their droves. And the Pharisees hated it, grew even more resolute, and of course were determined to kill the Christ. Now we have seen this two or three times before. Virtually the same thing. I observe, therefore, that John does not mind repeating the same point again and again. True, it's different nuances, and it's moving on to different episodes in this account, but nevertheless, the Holy Spirit, through John, wants us to get this point, does he not? The crowds flocking to Christ, but even with the crowds flocking to Christ, there are those who are trying to suppress and silence the truth about Christ, indeed to silence Christ himself. I want to make three simple points from these three verses. The first is addressing all of us who are believers, my brother and my sister, I speak to myself with you. What do we see here that can instruct and challenge us? Well, I see that those who had come to see Christ, meet the Lord Jesus as a result of the resurrection of Lazarus, it quite simply says they continued to spread the word. They spoke to their friends, their family, their neighbors. They spoke to them about Jesus and told them what he was and what he was doing and what he had done, particularly in the case of Lazarus. The lesson is plain to me. It is my responsibility. It is my privilege as a believer to spread the word. I see here it was almost, I might say, natural. It was the obvious thing to do. There's no instruction here, now you must go and tell others. Indeed, on some occasions, Christ had to tell people not to talk about him. But I am instructing here. But brother, sister, and I speak to myself as I say, there should be no need for us to instruct one another in these matters. Christ has instructed us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's not just for the apostles. That's not just for ministers, if you define ministers as pulpit men. If you define it biblically as every believer, of course it is for ministers. We're all ministers, we're all priests, we're all teachers, those of us who are believers. It's not just pulpit work. It's in every way, in the family, with the children, with one another, in our workplace, amongst our friends, wherever we have opportunity to spread the word and to continue to spread the word. Now, these people had success. It may be we shall have success, but it may be that we shall not. But our duty is to be faithful and to spread the word, and to continue to spread the word. That is the first lesson. Let us be gossipers for the gospel, witnesses for Christ, by life and by lip. I rebuke myself as I say this, but may we take every opportunity that the Lord gives us to continue to spread his word, that as many as possible might hear of the Lord Jesus. The second point I would make is this. Many people, hearing these disciples, or hearing these followers, speaking of Christ and the particular sign with Lazarus, they go out to meet him, the Christ, Jesus. So I address all who hear me who are unbelievers. Or maybe there's somebody who's listening who's never even heard of Jesus Christ before. This is all new to you. Go to meet him. Go to see him. Now he's not here physically. So where can you go to meet him? Well, you're finding him in the Word of God, of course. That's what I'm preaching to you. But go to him by faith. Flock to him by faith. The real call here is John chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. The real call is to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust him. That John 3 passage from verse 15 on is a very important passage in this regard. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There's the greatest sign. There's the greatest miracle. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, as that passage goes on, in verses 18 and 19 of John chapter 3, the responsibility for you, friend, is to believe, and the condemnation is to men if they will not believe. Now, these people went out to meet Jesus. Will you come to meet Jesus? Will you come to talk with him, to listen to him, above all, to trust him? These people will arise in the judgment. They went out to see the man because they had heard he raised Lazarus from the grave. You can hear from me now that Christ can save you from your sins. He will save you from your sins. If you call upon his name, his blood will wash you from your sins. His righteousness will clothe you. Only trust him. Only call upon him. Turn from yourself. Repent of your sins, and call upon the name of the Lord, and be saved. That's the second lesson I see here. The first is, those who would come to Christ spread the word. And those who heard about Jesus, many of them flocked out in droves to meet him. And then the third case, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin. They were resolute now. They refused to come to Christ. They stifled the evidence. They suppressed it. We read in earlier passages that they admitted amongst themselves, this man has raised the dead. He is doing these miraculous signs. We must stop him. Indeed, they wanted to kill Lazarus to try and get rid of the sign. Just as though that would have got rid of it. I see here men stifling, suppressing the knowledge of Christ. And Romans 1:18 tells me, and on, that passage tells me, that men are still doing it. They know the truth, but they suppress it. There will be people listening to me now. You know the gospel truth. You know that Christ can save you. You know that Christ will save you. You know that there's damnation for those who do not repent and believe, but you still will not believe. You refuse. You stifle it. You suppress it. You cover it over. You try to fill your life with all sorts of diversions to try to stop the nagging voice which tells you Christ is the only Savior, and you will not come to him. This is getting us nowhere. We must kill him. That's where it got to with these people. Where are you in this passage, my friend? Are you a believer? Are you witnessing for Christ? Are you pointing others to him? Are you looking and praying that others will come to Christ through your ministry? Are you an unbeliever? Have you heard of Christ? Well, you have today, now. Will you come to Christ? Or will you be one of those who will refuse him and stifle the evidence, suppress the evidence, pretend it's not there, and turn your back upon Christ? If you do, you will perish. In the end, there's only one of two ways. We either come to Christ, bow the knee to him, to repent and believe and trust him, and serve him. Or else we refuse, reject, and turn away from him. If we refuse, those who do refuse will perish. Those who repent and believe and come to Christ in saving faith have everlasting salvation. I ask again, which of these three are you? A believer witnessing for Christ? One who is hearing of Christ and coming? Or hearing of Christ and refusing? Oh, do not refuse. Do not delay. Do not dither. Do not dawdle. Come to Christ and trust him now.